Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 167 of Scene Invaders with Dan and Pat. Pat is off again today. We have Chone back. Just so you guys know, no, he did not leave the show. It is football season. He works in sports radio, and he is very, very, very busy. He said he was going to send me his audio for this week, so you guys could catch up on what he's been up to. So I don't have it as of right now, but once I get it, I'll throw that up on our podcast page. So it could be a part of this episode. If it's not, then expect that to be on an episode by itself. I'll call it a bonus episode or whatever. But that's why we have Chone here. Chone has officially joined the team. If you didn't hear last week, he's going to be helping out with eventually getting this YouTube thing together, doing a whole bunch of different stuff. Who knows? Could be blogs. You know, we're figuring this out as we go. We're 167 episodes in. All we want to do is have content for you guys to listen to or to watch. And as long as you guys are comfortable and happy and you have enough stuff and recommendations, you know, from us to watch, we're happy, right?
Correct. Absolutely correct, guys. Of course. The more content, the better. The more reaching out to us, telling us what to watch, really helps us out, because just like you guys, we sit there on Netflix for half an hour trying to figure out what we're going to watch. And usually it's something we've already watched before, probably.
Yes. Also, I think we're in the intermission of our podcast sponsorship agreement with Anchor. So we're going to have to figure out what's next for that. So maybe the next couple episodes won't be sponsored, and then we'll get another one on there. So yeah, you're not going to hear Pat screaming at you of how good Anchor is, but it really is a great way to make a podcast. If it's something you're looking into, I would definitely suggest Anchor, you know, just because it's free and it's very easy to use. So very user friendly. So we'll see what happens with our sponsorship in the next couple weeks, but I'll cut that out. But as of now, what am I up to, Chone? Is that what you asked me?
What are you up to, Danny? Funny you should ask. What are you up to?
Screaming at me there.
I'm sorry.
So first off, have you ever watched Hard Knocks on HBO? Are you familiar with that is? That's a no.
I remember the movie. I remember the movie.
No, it has nothing to do with the movie. All right. Hard Knocks is a look into training camp with NFL teams. All right.
Okay. The reason it doesn't have Keanu Reeves in it, right?
Literally nothing to do with that. And I think that was called Hardball. So you're like wrong in two languages. All right. But anyway, I started watching All or Nothing Tottenham Hotspur on Amazon Prime. It's very much like Hard Knocks. If you want an inside the look of a professional soccer team, see how their day-to-day lives go, an inside look at training sessions, or, you know, if you want to just see what these guys are like in real life, that's something I would suggest. I am a Liverpool fan, and I enjoy watching this. So, yeah, I would definitely recommend that to the sports fans out there. I know we have a lot of them, maybe because just – Pat is part of the show and he has a sports background. That's what he does for a living. But yes, I would very much so recommend this to the sports folks out there. And I think soccer is just growing and growing and growing in the U.S. And I think it's only going to get bigger as time moves on. Like I talked about last week with Ted Lasso, that character was created off of a skit he did for NBC Sports to get a more of a presence in America. Did you know that?
I remember that. I actually remember rewatching them because they were just so hilariously funny.
Yeah, they're so good. So yeah, that character was spawned out of a skit, and now it's a TV show. And now Jason Sudeikis is a major soccer fan, and I think it's awesome. You know, I think it's great that, you know, we're taking a love for their sport and they're taking a love for ours with the NFL having multiple NFL games played in England each year now. So
correct.
I think that's cool. So check that out if you would like to. Also, for you horror fans out there, I have I don't know what I would call this one. It's I don't know. It's definitely a horror, but it's more of a thriller. Like, there wasn't many times that I was actually scared, but there were certain times that I was on the edge of my seat. This is called You Should Have
Very
Left
Suspenseful.
way to cut off the title there. This is called You Should Have Left with Kevin Bacon and Amanda Seyfried. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
I have not. No. Two names I do love, though.
Yeah, Amanda Seyfried, man. She has those eyes. She is beautiful. So this is another – it's kind of reminds me of the theme of The Rental, Dave Franco's directorial debut that I talked about a few weeks back. It's a couple that Amanda Seyfried is an actress in this movie, and they want to go on vacation. So she has to go to England in a couple weeks. So they stop over in Wales, and they bring their daughter, and they rent a house. And shit gets weird. So I was drawn into this from watching the trailer because he was like, wait, the room in the inside looks bigger than on the outside. And he measures it and it's like 5 feet bigger on the inside. And he's like, how's that possible? So it's like a psychological thriller. It's like, are there ghosts? You know, what's going on? There's some shit with demons. Like it's pretty weird. I rented it off of Amazon Prime. So I would say to wait unless you love horror movies, but I'm thinking once, fall kicks in to gear a little more that this will end up on a streaming service before you know it. So, I love horror. It's one of my favorite genres to watch. So I would definitely suggest this one again. That's called You Should Have Left.
I seen the trailer for that, right? It's like him like walking outside, measuring the house and stuff like that. Correct. I seen, yeah, it looked interesting. I have to peep it out.
Yeah. That's exactly why I wanted to watch. Cause like, wait, like the trailer sold me. I was like, I need to know why that room is bigger on the inside. I need to know.
Maybe it's a TARDIS.
Maybe it is bigger on the inside. Okay. Now, as you guys know, if you're new here, welcome. If you aren't and you're, you know, been listening, you know that I just had my 1 year wedding anniversary. So I was away for a few days. I didn't get to watch as much as I typically do. So what I'm going to do here is this. There's four shows I want to watch. One is done. There's three seasons and it's over. That is called Dark on Netflix. Two, I think it's still going. It's called Money Heist on Netflix, and that is one of the most actually both of these are two of the most recommended shows I get. Like, seriously, people are always like, you gotta watch Dark, you gotta watch Money Heist, and if they're that good, I'm gonna check it out. But I don't know which one to start first. So if you guys follow us on Twitter, if not, type in Cinevaders on Twitter and tell me which one to check out first. Also, Lovecraft County on HBO and Raised by Wolves on HBO Max. Two sci-fi shows that have just started. I think Lovecraft has like four episodes and Raised by Wolves has one or two as of September 10th, 2020. But I want to check out all of these shows and I don't know where to start. Have you heard anything about any of those shows that you would say I should start one before the other?
I've heard Lovecraft is just mesmerizing. I heard it's a really, really good, storyline. I know it's a very alternative look at sci-fi genre. Now I don't know actually really what the subplot is at actually about.
All I know is it's like hardcore sci-fi.
I feel like we should though.
Yeah, well, you check out trailers these days, you don't know what the hell's going on. I mean, they try to hide stuff. I mean, that's what I thought with Tenet, but then Pat saw it and he goes, no, it's just confusing. But I've heard people say it was confusing, and then they saw it a second time and say it blew their mind the second time. And I just think that's how Nolan's movies work. Like, you can't understand them entirely with one viewing. So I think that's actually the point, and it's a good sign if it's confusing. But
I suppose, but then again, you know, I mean, I expect that from Nolan, but a lot of different directors kind of take that liberties of like, well, you know, you have to educate yourself and, you know, read this book to be able to understand this movie. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know, like J.J. Abrams, like, oh, I have to read the, Star Wars dictionary from, you know, Rise of Skywalker to understand why Palpatine comes back from the fucking dead.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I understand that, but I don't think Tenet's like that. I just think Tenet is probably an extremely layered movie that you really need to just break down, because First of all, it involves time travel. Anything that involves time travel, one, they make their own rules. It's like, it always brings me back to the Endgame scene with Paul Rudd, you know, basically quoting Back to the Future, right? And if you think about it, almost every movie, every sci-fi movie that has sci-fi, time travel, they really do like come up with their own rules. And they're all different. They're all unique.
Look at Doctor Who.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Perfect example of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
How many times has he fractured the space-time continuum? How many times has he went back to the same spot in the same time and place and created a paradox that was just of strange origin and even blew up the TARDIS about maybe twice or three times? Whoever knows. Yeah, exactly. You could do whatever at time travel.
Dude, you just reminded me of a question I was asked. So now we're going to have to prep this and talk about it later, because this is something that we're going to have to do some research on. So I'm going to want you to look this up. And the next time I talk to you, we're going to have an answer. Okay. Here's the question.
I may have the answer now.
No, you can't. You can't. Honestly, I'm not ready to talk about it. So we're just going to tease this right now. When does Peggy die? Agent Carter. When does she die? Well, I can't think. What movie? It's Civil War. I think it's Civil War. Yeah, it's Civil War. Because that's when he makes out with his could-be daughter or granddaughter.
Yes.
If you don't watch the MCU, you don't know what I'm talking about. But regardless.
Peggy Carter, Agent Carter from ABC's show.
She dies in Civil War. That's what I'm trying to say. So she dies in Civil War. They show Cap holding her young. And then, real quick, so Cap's in the top right if you're looking at the procession leading out. Okay, he's holding her casket top right. If you look bottom left, it looks like old man Cap.
It looks correct. Like it does.
So
yeah,
we're gonna talk about if that's possible that it could be old man Cap next time we speak, because I need to do some serious research on this because I want to really break it down. But that's a little tease, and that's all I have for what I've watched. Because again, I had my 1 year.
Are you saying he's behind him?
No. I'm saying that two Caps are there at the same time. He's not behind him. Current Cap in...
He's on the other side of him. Let's talk about this next time.
Let me say it. Current Cap is top right. Old Cap is bottom left. So they wouldn't be looking at each other and they wouldn't be next to each other. You understand? They're catty corner. We're not talking about it now. We're teasing, Chone. We're teasing. We're not doing. We got to do research. I really want to check this out. But all right, that's it for me. Chone, what do you got?
What do I got? It's blew my mind, that whole entire thing. So what I have, I have a lot of reactions to a lot of the spawning from the not only the John Boyega Star Wars.
I said Boyega, didn't I? Yes.
Take that back. I have a lot of...
That's in the news. What have you watched?
Come on, what have I watched? Oh, I'm sorry.
Get the picture here. What is it, your third episode?
I know, right? What am I new? What have I been watching? So I have been watching a couple different things. I recently watched Bill and Ted 3.
Oh.
Face the Music, which was honestly such a great movie. It was such a great send-off for these characters that we've grown up with. I know you've grown up with Bill and Ted. I've grown up with Bill and Ted.
Chone, I never seen
them. Have you not? You never seen them?
And clearly you don't listen to the show.
Clearly.
This came up about a month and a half ago. Dave Hendricks, one of our great listeners, he was talking about it, and he brought up Bill and Ted, and both Pat and I were both like, oh, neither of us have seen it. And it's just one of the movies that slip by, you know. It's not intentional. Sometimes that happens. But I do intend on watching all three. Okay.
That blows my mind. I've seen Bill and Ted a zillion times.
So
did my parents just leave me at home alone all the time?
Without spoiling it, tell us how it was.
It was a great send off from these characters, and just a great callback from a lot of these first two movies. You know, they essentially, of course, death is back in it. I mean, he does a great job. William Sadler.
Yeah, same guy.
Sadler. William Sadler does a great job. And also the daughters, which are Samara.
Samara Weaving. I'm in love with her. In love with her. So it seems like you missed a couple episodes straight in the last 6 weeks because I talked about Bill and Ted and her separately. I absolutely love her. She takes the word final girl and fucking breaks its neck and throws it out in the dumpster, dude. She is the ultimate final girl. There's Mayhem, the babysitter, and of course the one where she was Ready or Not, the one where she's the bloody bride. Oh, dude.
Correct.
She is fantastic.
She is also in the Daniel Radcliffe movie where he has guns bolted to his hands.
And also she's great in Guns Akimbo. Yeah, I forgot to say that one. But yeah, she's fantastic. So she's one of the daughters, right, in Bill and Ted 3?
She is, yes. With Bridget Lully, Payne.
That one, yeah.
Yeah, she's very obscure. So they do a great job as their kids. It was believable. Yeah. Your boy Anthony Cardigan from Barry.
Yeah, so funny.
He does such a great job in this movie. He's in Bill and Ted 3. He is Dennis Caleb McCoy. I'm just gonna leave it at that. You need to watch the movie to understand, but he does such a great job. You won't recognize him.
He's comedic.
Oh my god, it's super comedic. You gotta watch him. It's
perfect
tremendous
timing with his jokes. He really does, man. That guy is hilarious. Like, we talk about Barry and we say it's semi-serious, right? But NoHo Hank, 98% of the time, he cracks me up, man. That guy, he's one of the best characters on TV. I really think so.
Well, I would suggest you watching Bill and Ted 3. It was very good.
I will eventually. Yeah, I will eventually. You got anything else?
No, not at the moment. Right now, currently, I'm rewatching Breaking Bad.
Oh yeah.
Why? Yeah.
Any reason?
A little bit of boredom, a little bit of, you know, I want to really go through it again. You know, Breaking Bad is such a great show that it's built for you to watch it again.
Yeah. I've seen it three times straight through.
Have you? Yeah, I've only seen it once straight through. So that's kind of the.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if this is your second or third watch through. Yeah, Breaking Bad is my favorite show of all time. It's a perfect show. It has a great ending. I mean, you see it a lot. Like Walking Dead, for instance, they just announced that they're going to have their final season in 2021. So I was talking about this a couple weeks ago where I think I want to break down the final season of Walking Dead. Well, I didn't know it would be the final season, but I was hoping it would be. And they finally announced season 11 is going to be the final season. So they're going to have the finale for season 10 and then parlay that right into season 11. I think that's a great move. The show has been filled with filler lately. And there's so much cool shit to cover in the comics that they've yet to touch yet. So I think if they just go straight from the comics and just have an action-packed final season, it would be dope. But sometimes that happens. You know, shows go on for too long. And Breaking Bad, they knew it was their time to call it, and they called it at season 5. It was genius, you know?
You're absolutely right. There are some of these shows that just kind of really last just way too long. And that's partly because the network wants to recoup whatever money lost or losing. You know what I mean? If they come out with some show that they think is just going to flop, they're going to keep it for 2 seasons so they can recoup their money.
Yeah.
Just business.
Yeah. All right, we got a lot of news to cover. First off, Dune. Wow. I'm sure most of you guys out there have seen the trailer by now. If you haven't yet, stop what you're doing. Pause this and watch the trailer. Holy shit. This movie is going to be epic. Epic. The cast alone, you know, Timothy Chalamet, you got Rebecca Ferguson, Zendaya, Jason Momoa, Josh Brolin, Dave Bautista, Oscar Isaac, Stellan Skarsgård, Javier Bardem. I mean, come on, dude.
Just Murderer's Row right there. It just is killer after killer after killer, you know? Yeah. Poe Dameron looks awesome.
Yeah.
Zendaya looks great.
Yeah. I think this is going to be fantastic. But I will warn people, if you don't like a slow burn, I don't know if Dune might not be for you, because this seems like a slow burn. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm going to relate this to Blade Runner 2049. And it has some of the same aspects where you're reviving a franchise. Now, I know that was a sequel and this is a remake, but still, same director, Denis Villeneuve, however you say his name, I apologize. Same director for that. And I think this is going to blow people's minds. And I can't wait to see it.
And you're absolutely right about the slow burn, because this is probably a quarter of slowness compared to Blade Runner 2049. It just, it's, you know, I mean, if there are fans of the books of Dune, you know, they're going to understand that this is probably going to cover maybe a quarter, not even.
Yeah.
Not even.
Yeah. But I mean, I kind of think that something like Dune, now granted, I haven't seen the original in years, so I'm going to go ahead and need to do that as soon as possible. But it seems to me like something like Dune could almost have a TV series. That's how thick the material is. So maybe they're going to set it up to have a sequel, or it's just going to be like 3 hours long, because I don't think there's a way it's going to be 2 hours. No shot. It's definitely going to be over two.
Correct. It's definitely going to hit that kind of 2.3 mark, rather. You know, I actually quite recently, not that recently, have actually watched the Dune movie. And, you know, talking about slow burns, that's a really slow, slow, drawn out movie that, you know, if you're really not into that genre, you can get really tuned out really quick. And even that older Dune, there's killers in there. There's Matthew Broderick. You have Sir Patrick Stewart. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's just Murderers Row as well as this movie, you know? So I'm excited for it. I really am.
Yeah, me too.
I got to say one thing, though. Mm-hmm. I got to say one thing. I'm going to put it on the record. Did you see the Dune snake or the Dune?
I sure did.
Okay. Yeah. What was your first reaction?
I thought it was actually a little dark, the scene. I couldn't see it that well. Maybe the CGI isn't finished, but I mean, I thought it looked quite impressive for the little shot we saw. What about you? You don't seem like you did.
I looked at it, I saw it, and I thought it was cool when it was coming up the sand, of course. And then when you see the wide shot, of course, it's huge. It's extremely massive. So the scale of this movie is going to be quite large. But to me, it just looked like a big gaping butthole.
No, I could see that, actually. I could see that. Yeah,
sure. It just did. It really did. Just looked very blown out.
Well, I mean, that's just what the monster looks like, you know?
I guess. I was looking for teeth and stuff. I don't know.
Sometimes monsters look like buttholes. Ready?
Okay. What about the other stuff?
So, yeah, we have some serious stuff going on with Ray Fisher and Warner Brothers. So this all has to do with John Boyega's character getting minimized in the new Star Wars sequels as well. But yeah, what do you got for us here?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this definitely stems from, you know, the criticism that John has been, you know, faced with by the backlash of just the Star Wars fans all over. You know, unfortunately, they're just kind of ruthless, just, you know, in general. Rather, but it stretched out to a lot of different aspects. It's also bled into the Ray Fisher, Warner Brothers dispute, where Warner Brothers, you know, issued a statement, and then Ray Fisher has retracted the statement, and even he's had his fellow cast members like Aquaman, Jason Momoa, coming in and sharing on his Instagram story, you know, hashtag I stand with Ray Fisher. I mean, it's the WB is going to have to do something about it. Warner Brothers is going to have to do
From what I was seeing, this was his treatment on set, right? He didn't like the way he was being treated on set by Jeff Johns and company.
I think it was treated not only on set, but also in back doors as well. And also closed doors, which I think that's the most, that's the most of the controversy of what's actually happening now. I doubt that it was a lot. I mean, I'm sure there was probably something on set that really contributed to this, but you know, of course, you and I both know that it's not the straw. It's not the last straw that breaks the camel's back. It's all the other straws on top
exactly.
of that one. So,
I mean, obviously I think something might be going on here. I'm not going to go ahead and call Jeff Johns a racist. I don't know the guy. I don't know anything what's going on. But, you know, I've had comments on John Boyega on the show in the past where I was upset that he said, you ain't going to Disney Plus me. Like, he'll never bring Finn to Disney Plus. And I was kind of upset by that because you see all these huge characters doing Disney Plus shows, not only in the MCU, but also in the Disney universe. The most recent one I can think of is, you know, Ewan McGregor going to do a show for Disney Plus for his Star Wars, for Obi-Wan Kenobi. So,
and not even just a show, a mini series that isn't going to go off to a second season.
Yes. So at first I was upset, like, oh, come on, John, like, what if people want to see Finn again? But now I'm starting to see his side a little bit. He was actually truly upset of how Star Wars Episode 7 kind of built up Finn, and then they slowly but surely took away his importance, where he didn't even matter much in the final battle. But, you know, I don't know what's going on, so I can't really speak on what these two individuals are thinking. But there is a rumor they're going to do a podcast soon where both of them, not a podcast, like both of them are going to make a video talking to each other about what happened and what steps could these studios take to fix these problems. And I like that. It's not just someone saying, hey, you're bad. Like, okay, they're giving you examples. They're giving you a path to fix your mistakes if you made these mistakes. So I'm excited to see what happens. What are your thoughts on this whole situation in general? Like, do you think something fishy is going on? Like, what are your thoughts here?
I know definitely there's something fishy going on.
Now, you
know,
did Jason Momoa speaking up clinch that for you? Because he basically said, no, Ray's not bullshit.
No, I think this was my speculation and my feelings has been before, you know, Aquaman kind of, you know, surfaced, pardon the pun, about this. You know, just, I mean, a lot of, like I've said before, a lot of these Hollywood types, I wouldn't be surprised if Jeff Johns throws his weight around and tries to boss people around, you know what I mean? You know, screaming at a light guy and things like that. Like, I wouldn't put it past them. I really wouldn't. So I definitely believe that a lot of these allegations are exactly true. But, you know, on the other hand, touching on the John Boyega, you know, not coming to a Disney Plus show, that's just ridiculous. And that just kind of sounds to me that this is an artist, a very young artist, that doesn't understand the worth of this character, and even more so the worth of the fan base.
Yeah,
and
okay,
how this fan base can really escalate you.
Let me pause you real quick. That's what I was saying. But what if he was also not being treated well, or in his mind? So that's why he doesn't want to come back. So, like, that, these are the things we don't know. So that's why we need, like, I would love to hear Ray Fisher and John Boyega talk for an hour about what's going on. I mean, think about it, dude. Ray Fisher is risking millions of dollars to do what in his mind is right and speak up, because they could recast him. That could happen, you know, and he's supposed to be in the Flash movie. So
correct.
It takes balls, you know, it takes guts. So I'm curious, and I want to see, you know, the legs that this thing takes on. I want to see what happens, what backlash. But most importantly, like I said, I want to hear them talk. And they tweeted at each other and they said they would both do it. So I hope that actually happens.
I would love to hear them talk. I really would, because that would really give you an honest to goodness look about what's really going on, what happened, what didn't happen, what's speculation, what's not speculation.
Yeah.
And, you know, hear it from their mouths.
Yeah. And it gives you just a different perspective, you know, like sometimes that's all you need to hear is someone else's perspective, walk in their shoes for a minute, and then you might feel differently towards the subject.
Correct.
Okay.
And also, two guys, we also have to remember too, that these guys are artists as well.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Okay. So next up, HBO Max. They're thinking of making a change, considering a lower cost tier supported by ads. Off the bat, sounds like a cool idea, but I have Hulu with ads and it's annoying as shit.
It is annoying.
Because there are 2-minute non-skippable ads that come on just as often as a commercial would come on if you're watching a cable TV show. Yeah, it's annoying. And especially if you're trying to binge something that's completed, and you got to watch commercials for it, it kind of sucks. But if they're going to talk a serious price cut, cool. Now, they're not saying how much cheaper it would be. I think it would be, have to be substantially cheaper for someone to even think about it. Otherwise, just get HBO Max.
I don't believe so. I think what they're going to do is this. I think they're going to do – I think they're going to make it a $2 to $4 difference.
That's
because
–
no, but this is the theory. This is my, you know, math around that. Because say it's in – say it's $8 for – or okay, rather it's $14 for a subscription, correct? Mm-hmm. And what if it's only $9.99 for the ads?
Okay.
But if you don't want the ads, you can just pay that $14. So yeah. HBO Max, Warner Brothers is betting on you to say, hey, listen, I'm just going to pay the $14. I don't want to have to deal with the ads.
Yeah, and but just at least pay you have the $14. Option. You know?
At least you have the option. But yeah. they're going to make it a very slight margin. I believe me when I tell you this. Either it's going to be $9 or it's going to be $7.99. It's going to be close to $8.
I'll tell you what, that is a big enough change that I think some people would have a second look at it. Because some people don't mind ads. You know, a lot of people are scrolling on their phone when they're watching TV anyway. And that's like a little break to get some tweets off, to go to the bathroom, to do whatever you want, where you could just press pause. But I think it's smart. Maybe they're not getting as many subscribers as they want, and they're trying to find a way to fish people in. And, you know, maybe if you get hooked on HBO Max and you're like, shit, I don't want these goddamn ads, and then you upgrade. So – it could be a marketing thing for them. Who knows what's going on, but I think that's smart. I like HBO Max from what I've seen so far. I think it has a lot of potential, especially with the DC side that's going on. But I think this is only good news. I mean, why not? Why not throw that in there? And I'll tell you what, I think other people are going to steal this idea. You know, Hulu's been doing it, but I think we'll get more of this.
I wouldn't be surprised as well, but I think the people that wouldn't, you know, kind of follow the leader with this is going to be Disney Plus. They're not going to.
Yeah, never.
I don't want to watch an ad in between The Mandalorian season 2 or season 3. Mm-hmm.
Disney's,
I don't want to do it.
Disney's never going to throw ads on there, dude.
Disney's never going to do that. Hulu, yes.
Yeah.
Disney, well, Hulu not so much.
It. Yeah. I mean, oh, Netflix, yeah. Maybe. Who knows, dude? I mean, the more we go away from cable TV, the more the cable TV is going to try to follow us into the new world of streaming. They're going to try to get their goddamn ads in, and you know it. It's just the way it works.
I mean, look at the music industry. The music industry is lighting their hair on fire with things like Spotify and streaming and things like that. How, you know, they're not making a lot of money. You know, they're chomping at the bit to make a cent.
Yeah. All right, Sean. I love comics. You know far more than I do about comics. Tell us about this MCU update with Shang-Chi. Oh, you're wearing his Shang-Chi. You're wearing his shirt today?
No, I'm wearing the Joker. I'm wearing Joker. Jared Leto.
So I was bringing up Marvel, and he throws up the Joker. And I just said he knows about comics. No, he does. He really does. We should get these episodes of me and you talking up on YouTube. Not this one.
We definitely have to.
But, yeah, we should. Maybe the next one. I have a Scene Invader billboard thing that we had in the old studio. Maybe I'll drop that behind me, get all dressed up for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do some squats. I'll do some kegels. And then
do some kegels.
Get all sweaty and then hop in the shower and then come record, you know?
People don't understand how important kegels are.
Don't you really don't. All right, tell us what this MCU update, Shang-Chi, what's going on?
It's not huge news, but this could be very impactful news. So the Shang-Chi Simu Liu, I feel like I really hope to God I'm saying that right. I'm probably not. I butcher names for a living people. I get paid to do it. I apologize.
I think it's Simon Liu, but whatever.
Simon Liu.
Whatever.
I'm sorry. So the star of Shang-Chi himself, has been spotted with another MCU character, an actor filming overseas at location.
Okay.
Can you guess who it is?
Do you know?
I do know.
I'm going to guess Doctor Strange.
Oh, close but no cigar. The star of Shang-Chi in The Legend of the Ten Rings was grabbing a bite to eat and was caught with another MCU universe actor who is, wait for it, it is Benedict Wong.
Oh, so I was close.
You were close. You were close. Yeah, they responded eating at a Korean barbecue, a restaurant in Australia.
Okay.
Yeah, they posted an Instagram picture with the two, thanking them for their continued support. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. So that could be really huge implications of the MCU, you know.
The guys that aren't picking up his name, he's Doctor Strange's homie. He's always with him in the beginning of Infinity War. That's who Hulk, he falls into the stairs, and that's who he talks with.
What is his name? I'm blanking. I really also think it's Wong as well.
I think so, because when Tony Stark's like, Wong, you're invited to my wedding.
Correct. So. Yes, you're absolutely correct.
But yeah. I think that's cool. I think I absolutely think, you know, Multiverse of Madness, can you get any more in your face? Doctor Strange 2, the Multiverse of Madness, you already have Scarlet Witch. This movie is going to be a huge bridge to the next steps of the MCU. It's going to, you know, give us a light into the creators and the directors and the writers' minds and Kevin Feige's mind of what's next. And Doctor Strange is the person to get them there. So I think that's cool. I think we'll probably see both of them in that movie, if I had to guess.
I think we would actually see more than just both of them. I think we would not only see Dr. Stephen Strange, I would also think that we would see Wong, which that is actually his name in the MCU. And I would also think that we would see Mordor as well.
Yeah, that's a matter of time. Yeah.
And no, I actually think he's going to probably show up with the Legend of the Ten Rings. Because
no, I'm saying it's a matter of time that he'll happen. He'll come.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But I wouldn't put it past seeing him, you know, competing for one of the Ten Rings in this champion kind of, you know, Dragon Ball Z style kind of fighting tournament they're probably going to have.
You know what I'm realizing here too right now? So that Shang-Chi is filming in Australia as we speak. Do you know what else is filming in Australia as we speak? Thor 4, Thor 11, and Thunder.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely correct.
Both of them are in Australia. So that'll be an easy way for the characters to have little cameos because they're already in the same country. You know, they're probably filming at the same lot. It's a Marvel lot. So I think that's interesting. It's something to keep tabs on.
I think that would be I think that would be interesting, but also too, I would have to point out that now, you know, living in the world of, you know, the pandemic, it wouldn't be as easy said and done. They'd have to quarantine. They have to be in somewhat of the same bubble of some sorts, you know, but it could be possible. It definitely could be possible.
I'm excited to get my girl back. Natalie Portman has been my celebrity crush for about 15 years, and she still is my top one. She always will be.
Who knows why?
And why? Do you know why? I don't know why. I'm just attracted to her. You don't like
maybe
her?
You like 10-year-old. I'm not a big fan of 10-year-old little boys. I'm just not.
10-year-old little boys.
What, she just has a body. I kind of.
You're out of your mind. She's gorgeous.
I don't know.
She is perfect.
We'll see. She's putting on some muscle for
Thor 4.
Thor, yeah.
Thor 4. Thor Love and Thunder. Yeah, I can't wait to see her back in the MCU. That's going to be great. I think it'll give us some comedic moments as well as some moments of heart. We'll see how Chris Hemsworth's Thor reacts to seeing her. You remember when him and Tony were having that pissing contest about who's better?
Correct.
Which girlfriend was better?
Correct.
Pepper or Jane. So, yeah, I think that's awesome. This is only good news. Okay.
I'm excited for that as well. I just want to go on one thing, though. I hate to say it, but I just hope they don't not give Jane Foster cancer. I hate to say this, guys, but if this movie comes out and Jane Foster doesn't have cancer, I'm gonna be very pissed.
Okay. That's fair.
I mean, for the comic book fans out there that have read, you know, the Thor, you know, female Thor kind of books, that's the pivotal point of Jane Foster. She picks up the hammer every time. And she risks the chance of not only the chance, but the absolute chance and certainty that everything she's done, all the chemo, all the treatments is just wiped and over with. And the cancer is back after she becomes Jane Foster. That's a pivotal moment.
After she becomes Thor?
After she gets the powers of Thor. So she gets the powers of Thor. She becomes Thor. Then after she puts it down, the powers of Thor kind of essentially cure the chemo and cure the regenerative stuff, but it doesn't necessarily cure the cancer, of course. So the cancer is always back every time she comes back. So it's a very strong pivotal point to this character that really builds this strength.
So typically,
that's why she's worthy for Thor.
Typically, I would disagree, and I don't mind when the movies change stuff from the comics, because you can't really follow everything to a T. But in this scenario, I definitely agree with you. This is something that they have to follow to a T, because it brings stakes to the character. It makes it feel more real, and there's a reason, you know, why it's a part of the plot. You know,
it makes her a hero. Essential.
Yeah, it's essential.
It makes her a hero. So sadly, it makes her a hero. Unfortunately, our heroes are built not because they're great. It's because they're built off of sadness. Bruce Wayne becomes Batman because of the tragedy, because of some punk in an alley killed his parents.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Samus Spider-Man. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, correct. It's a common theme in comics. Yeah, for sure. The underdog, you know, do the right thing type of thing. So we'll see. That is my most anticipated MCU movie, Thor 4. I can't wait, dude. I absolutely cannot wait. As well as Black Widow. And we're finally going to be getting that soon. People have been forgetting about that. But Taskmaster is going to blow everyone's freaking minds, dude. That's going to be amazing.
You're absolutely right. And I hope we have a chance to be able to see it, you know, quite soon. Unfortunately, with all these delays.
I think it's November. I think they confirmed it will come out in November.
Yeah, I hope so.
So for now, we'll see. But all right, a couple fan emails. If you want to get on the show, email cinevaders@gmail.com. Also, I'm thinking of having some guests on. So like while we're recording, if you agree to this, we're going to call a guest for 10 minutes and just chat with you guys, you know, our fans. So Brad just tweeted, Brad from Canada, something that he wants to do creatively. So maybe we'll have him on and talk about that, whatever. You know, you guys want to talk about a certain TV show, a certain movie. I'm thinking of doing that once a month and putting it at the end of an episode, like 10, 15 minutes, whatever. And we'll talk to some of you guys, because that's who I want to hear from. So cinevaders@gmail.com, get your topics in. We got two emails right now. One, Dave Hendricks, one of our great listeners. This is a great question. And if you can't think of anything off the top of your head, you need to follow him on Twitter. I'll send you his @. You might be already following him. And you need to give him an answer. With Sly Stallone announcing the removal of the robot from the upcoming Rocky IV, they're re-releasing it, what are some terrible scenes in otherwise good movies? Here's a couple of his. Now, don't say anything until I say his tag at the end. A couple of mine are Promise of Anal Sex in Kingsman. It was so random. The Killing of Toad in X-Men, the 2000 version.
That's a great one.
And the sex scene in Watchmen movie. All great ones, okay? And then he says, also, after connected to the Watchmen movie, after seeing the Snyder Cut, can we all agree to retire the use of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah in all media? Not as good as Canada Brad with postscripts, because Brad usually puts a little something, to, you know, put a little pep in your step. But yeah, that's funny. Okay, first off, yes, we need to find some more show, more songs to bring into trailers, 100%. Second,
absolutely.
When I was thinking of this question, I didn't see Watchmen at the bottom there, because I totally agree with that. That was so weird and forced and just strange to have that sex scene just thrown in there in the middle of nowhere. The Kingsman thing cracked me up, because the princess was like, go save the world and then you can fuck me in the butt. Like, that made no sense.
Those the best.
Yeah, it cracked me up. Do you have any on top of your head? If not, you can tweet them. Don't worry about it. Just something that just doesn't make sense.
Something that doesn't make sense? No, nothing.
Just a terrible scene in a good movie. Think about it. Because I'm going to think about this some more, too. I didn't see the Watchmen part, and that was my answer. So I'm going to think about this some more, too. And if you guys have some,
I've seen the Watchmen part. I could agree with you there. It's not necessary. I don't mind watching it. But it's also, you know, sometimes sex scenes, like, they can be really drawn out. And sometimes you're just like...
That was just a weird sex scene. It was just strange. And they were, like, fucking in midair. And it was just weird. But this is a great topic. And if you guys have some, you want to tweet, Cinevaders on Twitter. That's it, @Cinevaders. I respond to anyone and everyone who tweets at me. So let's get some good banter going until we have too many followers and I can't respond to everyone. That's the dream. Next up, we have an email from Julia.
Julia? Hey,
what's up?
Julia?
Julia? Yeah. Oh, the Julia you know? Yeah.
Is it Julia now?
Yeah.
Oh, what's up, Jewel?
Yeah. Jules, she's a great person. Big fan of the show, longtime listener, but this is my first time writing in, so bear with me, LOL. I've been really looking forward to seeing The Devil All the Time coming out on Netflix next week. I know how much Dan loves Tom Holland, and the rest of the cast looks pretty solid, so I'm curious what your thoughts are on this one. Also coming out on Netflix is the series Ratched. Love Sarah Paulson, as do I, and the trailer looks really good, but I'm wondering if it's too American Horror Story. And that's funny, because I just tried watching American Horror Story 1984, and oh my goodness, has that show gone down the pipe. Wow. Season one, I loved. I thought, and I haven't watched it since, so I jumped right to season nine, because it doesn't matter, it's all anthology, because we were staying in the cabin in the woods, and I wanted to get scared. Wow, is it corny, man. And that show used to be great. So that's funny you added that in there, Jules. I've only dipped my toes in the streaming services other than Netflix. Finally found people to mooch logins from. And I got her to watch Defending Jacob on Apple. Wondering if you have any recommendations on the must-watch shows and movies. Let me know what you guys think. Stay golden, Jules. So first off, yes, The Devil All the Time. I cannot wait for it. We're only a couple weeks away, and that looks just bonkers. I mean, we got Robert Pattinson in that one as well. And other Starsgard is popping in that one. The Starsgard family, man, they're so talented. It's ridiculous.
Oh, they're murderers.
It's crazy how good they are at acting. Every one of them.
And directing as well.
Yeah, they're just very, 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 very talented people over there. So yeah, I absolutely can't wait for that, Jules. I will be reviewing that one immediately once I see it. You know how I love Tom, and I love how he's breaching out and doing different types of roles. Ratched, I haven't seen anything about this yet. I'm going to look into it. I've only seen the poster for the Netflix. Do you know anything about this show?
I've not, no.
So yeah, I don't know anything about this one yet, but I will definitely look into it. First of all, if it's horror, I'm going to watch it because I just love horror. So yeah, it looks like it's suspense, horror. Here's the
correct.
Here's the tagline here. A young nurse at a mental institution becomes jaded, bitter, and downright monster to her patients. It sounds a little like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Oh, is this what it is?
A little bit, yeah. Oh, like I think that it is, mixed dude. Like Nurse Jack.
Yeah, it is. She's Nurse Mildred.
Is she Nurse Ratched?
Yeah.
Oh, that's tremendous. Oh, look at that, guys. We don't just,
wow.
Look at that.
We just put that together research, on kids. Air, right?
Wow.
That's really cool. Wow, I'm definitely going to be watching this. And to answer your question, no, I don't think this will be like American Horror Story then, because it'll be just like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and show how she got to that place. This is awesome. This comes out next weekend. Beautiful. Thank you so much. September 18th it comes out. So, yeah, I will definitely be watching that one.
Same, definitely. And that's such a great movie, and that's and it's blanking on me. Who did that movie? Who did One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest? It's a very famous person.
Wasn't it Scorsese? I actually don't know. You look it up. I'm gonna be talking about some other stuff. All right. As far as your must-watch recommendations, The Boys, best show on TV. There's
yes.
Episode 4 is coming out soon. Today, if you're listening when the episode dropped, best show on TV. Umbrella Academy. I slept on that for a season, and I was very mad at myself for doing so. I mean, just absolute. Sometimes shows just live up to the hype. Sometimes that just happens, and that was the case for this. And I don't know, Jules, if I told you about Palm Springs, but Palm Springs on Hulu is one of my favorite movies of the year so far. I couldn't get enough of it. I love the soundtrack. I love the cast. It's adorable, and it makes you feel good. That is on Hulu, like I just said, so check that out. And then also Ted Lasso on Apple Plus, that is also a feel-good show. So they're the four must-watch that I can think of on the top of my head right now, but any other ones I'll be sure to let you know. And if you guys want to get on the show, again, it's that easy, scenevaders@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on Twitter, I will answer any questions you have. Scenevaders on Twitter. Now, Chun, did you look up the director?
I did. Yes, I did. The director was not Scorsese. It was Milos Forman.
No, I have no idea who that is.
Yeah, I have no idea who that is either. So,
Sometimes it doesn't work out. next week, I will be prepping everyone for the fall season. I'm putting together a list of horror movies, horror TV shows, stuff that'll get you in the Halloween mood. And I'm going to focus mostly on Netflix because that's the one streaming service that I know everyone pretty much has. So, yeah, I'm going to be doing that. And I'm going to be trying to watch the TV shows that I talked about in the beginning of the episode. I really don't know which one to start first, Joan. I'm like really like freaking out. So Dark and Money Heist, they're both foreign. So you need subtitles because I don't do dubbing. I don't do it.
I believe Dark does dubbing, but it's not that bad.
I don't do dubbing. I don't like it. No matter how good it is, quote unquote, I can't do it. It's not the actor's voice. It's off. Sometimes they don't even say what the words say on the bottom of the screen. Like it just doesn't add up.
Correct. Yeah. Because there's word that doesn't translate in the English language. Yeah. We have words that they just don't have.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'll probably honestly check out Lovecraft County first because there's 4 or 5 episodes and that's on HBO. And I've heard nothing but rave reviews for.
I think that's the front runner, honestly, Danny. I really do. I think that's really the front runner.
Yeah.
Even for myself, I think I'm going to watch that as well in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Let's just assume you're going to be on next week. Even if you're not, we can just have 2 episodes. I would like to talk to you about that. I would like to do a review with you on something that we both watched. I don't know the next chance we'll have to do that, but hopefully that comes soon. I'm looking really quickly, people, for The Devil All the Time. That comes out also next weekend. So great. We have The Devil All the Time and Ratched both coming out next weekend, and we know that because of Jules. See, this is why you should write in, people.
Thank you, Jules.
You fill in the blanks of the stuff I missed or Chon missed when we're putting together our news. And these are 2 great properties coming to Netflix in 1 week. I can't wait. You got anything else, bud?
No, not at the moment. We definitely have our work cut out for us for the next couple of weeks, especially with the shows we have to watch. I definitely want to watch the Tom Holland new show that's coming out. That's Netflix, right?
Yeah, both of them are. Yeah, Ratched and
both of them are.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. So, The Boys, obviously you watched all 3 episodes that
correct.
Dropped. Okay. Now, were you upset like I was that they only did that and they're doing week by week?
No, not at all.
You're fine with it?
No. Yeah, I'm fine with it because isn't that essentially the same thing they did for the first season?
No, they dropped the first season all at once.
Did they really?
Yeah.
See, well, no, not really.
No, they did. They dropped all 10 episodes at once.
Oh, no. I was saying no, not really. I'm not upset that they did that.
Because I know some people that when streaming services pull this, they wait till it's over and then they binge it. I can't do that. If I know there's an episode of something I love and I can go click a button and it hits my eyes and my ears and I can experience it, I'm going to do that as soon as possible. So I can't wait. What about you? Would you ever wait for something to be completely done before watching it? Does that bother you ever?
Yes and no. If it depends on how much I really am invested into the material.
Yeah, like for you don't want to be spoiled. Yeah.
Correct. And for The Boys, I'm very invested. So I'm going to watch every episode, even if I have to wait another week to watch it. I'm just going to do that. You know what I mean? That's just going to be the sacrifice I'm going to make. Now, occasionally, and I don't condone this, kids. I will wait, if I'm waiting for a show kind of like The Flash or like anything that kind of comes out, I will wait that extra hour or whatever to stream it on whatever platform it sends out or, kind of go on the dark web and grab it from there and watch it without the commercials, so.
I hear you. Just personally, I'm too impatient. Like, even if, like, I'm a huge Liverpool fan, right? So even if there's a game that I can't watch live and I could watch it 3 hours from now and see it recorded, I can't. I need to know the score. I'm nuts. If something is available to me now, I need it now. That's just the way my brain works, especially like you said a second ago, especially when it's something I'm invested in. And I would definitely call myself invested in The Boys. I'm saying multiple times it's the best show on TV. Am I crazy to say that?
It's definitely hands down one of the best shows on TV. I don't know if it takes the top 1%, you know, first prize, but it's definitely up there. Definitely top 5.
Yeah. You know? So the fact that I can say that and most people don't even blink an eye shows how good the show is. If you guys still haven't done so, go to Amazon, watch The Boys. It's going to blow your mind. All right, that'll about do it. I want to say really quickly, thank you guys so much for bearing with me during this coronavirus time. I would love to get back to a Tuesday drop schedule. So that is going to be the goal. So I'm going to try to figure out Pat's schedule in advance and see like, all right, he's going to be off this week. He's going to be off this week. And then Chone and I could record on Mondays and drop it on Tuesdays for the week he's out. So we'll try to get that together. But thank you guys so much for sticking with us through this coronavirus. At first, we were doing segmented episodes. They were a fucking pain in the ass. Where Chone was, that's how Chone's Corner was built, because he was sending me in 15 minutes to put in. Pat was sending me 25 minutes, and I was doing my bit, and I was putting them all together. That sucked. You want to hear people talking back and forth. So we got over that. Now we started to Zoom. And now we're just trying to get the wheels going, people. We want to figure out better ways to do this. More and more content, the better. So the best place to hear news and updates is Twitter. I will tweet out anything and everything once I know. So the goal is by October to be back to the Tuesday release schedule. I love you guys. Thank you so much. Chone, you'll be back, I'm sure, before they know it.
I will definitely be back. And guys, thank you guys so much. I wanted to actually thank everybody who's followed Chone's Corner at Twitter. Crazy Rob, the Brad, thank you so much for supporting me and, you know, kind of welcoming me into the team, welcoming me into a family.
There you go.
You know,
that's what we are here.
So man, I appreciate it.
Big fan.
Definitely.
All right, brother. I'll talk to
we
you.
We off?
Soon.
Chone's yeah. out.
We off. Later.
Chone out.
Oh, thank you.